The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
So kicking off a new series today, I'm excited about it because, you know, Jesus said some pretty hard things when he was here in his ministry on earth, and people for centuries have puzzled over some of the things he said, and some people thought it was just a little too harsh. Some people have, matter of fact, the religious leaders of the day really questioned the things Jesus said because it just didn't line up with what they'd been taught and what they grew up knowing. And so we are going to be taking those sayings that Jesus spoke, and we're going to do this by, of course, looking at them in context of where he was, when he spoke, all that kind of stuff. And so we want to be able to kind of get a feel for what he really was saying, who his audience was, that sort of thing. But most of all, we want to be able to take these sayings and maybe clear up any confusion that people might have. And I think we're going to find out as we go through a series that these statements that Jesus made actually were pretty tough. There's really no amount of analyzing or deciphering that's going to take away some of the harshness of the things that he did say, but they're all things that we need to hear. And so at Remnant, I hope we're ready for that, ready for God to maybe pry into our hearts a little bit and hopefully evoke some change. You know, if you come to Remnant every Sunday and there's not something that happens here or something that's said, something you hear that invokes some kind of change in you, then you're either not listening or maybe you're just not going to the right church. Maybe it's just God's not speaking to you through Remnant. But we hope and pray that every Sunday when you come here that God gives you something and you can just go into your week with this fresh knowledge that God has given you or change of heart that he's given you. So that's our hope through our new series, The Tough Sayings of Jesus. So, does that sound good? Yes. All right. All right, so what is our tough saying for today? Jesus, now, by the way, it's paraphrased in the talk bubble here. Don't smack him back. Okay. Jesus probably would have said that if he would have said that in the 21st century. But he did say something along those lines. And so we're actually going to take a deep look at what he said and kind of really dig into it and find out exactly what he meant when he said that and what was going on there. So it's found in Matthew 5, 38 through 40. So we can turn there. It's also going to be up on the screen for you. We'll read this and then we'll pray and jump into this. Okay, starting with verse 38. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat as well. Okay, so right up front we hear that and we're just like, man, that's some pretty tough stuff that Jesus just uttered. Let's pray and pray that he opens up our eyes and our hearts to this. God, thanks so much for just another opportunity to be in your house. God, thank you that you came to this earth, that as you walked among your people and you taught them, God, you spoke some things that they needed to hear, that we need to hear. And I pray this morning, God, as we take a closer look at one of these things, that you would touch our hearts, that you would speak directly to us, that we would leave this place knowing that we heard from you. God, I pray that as we open your word and as we spend time in it this morning, that the words that I speak this morning would be your words and not mine. Thank you, God. Make us attentive to what you have for us. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you may have already noticed this, but there's a couple of well-known expressions that are derived from this passage. An eye for an eye, you've heard that before. Okay? You've heard turn the other cheek. You've heard give someone the shirt off your back. You've heard that expression. Okay, so we have expressions that we use in our culture that are still around, have been around for centuries, and maybe you didn't realize that they came from this passage and other passages. So first off, I think the thing that we need to understand about this is who Jesus was speaking to, who his audience was. Jesus actually said these words during what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus was on a mountaintop and he preached a sermon. So I know it's complicated, but he was speaking to his closest followers, his disciples. There were others besides the 12 that may have been present, but these basically were people who were, you know, pretty hardcore followers of Jesus. That was the audience that he was speaking to. So when you read this passage, you first of all have to understand that, to know that as Jesus was speaking to an inner circle, the message may have sounded differently if he was giving it to, you know, people that didn't know him, didn't follow him, or weren't interested in him. And so that's the audience that Jesus addressed. So if you read these three verses, I just kind of read these over, and I like to, in my mind, read a passage and then just kind of summarize to myself, well, what is he talking about? And if I could do it in one word, I would say that Jesus is addressing the subject of revenge. The subject of revenge. Now, thing about revenge, it's something that we all know is not healthy, not good, but it's something we all want to do, and we like to do it. Okay? The Roman satirist Juvenal wrote these words. Indeed, it's always a paltry, feeble mind that takes pleasure in revenge, and no one delights more in vengeance than a woman. Now, I think this guy may have had an issue with his ex-wife or girlfriend or whatever. But he does make a point here that, you know, this is like the most base thing that we do as humans is to seek out revenge. And we're a type of people that are not just interested in justice, but maybe a little bit beyond justice, if you know what I mean. We'll talk a little bit about that and the implications of it. But the truth is, it's not just women who are interested in revenge. Every single one of us is interested in revenge in some way. It's something that we find sweet and satisfying. To know that the other person got what they deserve. Am I right? If I say something that's not right, just be like, oh yeah, I don't feel that way at all. Okay? We love to get even, basically what it comes down to. Okay, but us who are followers of Jesus, God's given us some legitimate avenues for justice here on earth. Jesus warns us that personal revenge is something completely different than justice. Revenge may taste sweet, but it's wrong. Instead of meeting evil with equal or greater force, he urges us to meet evil with a completely different kind of force, with good. So instead of paying back in kind, we're called to pay back with kindness. So let's talk about revenge. I think probably the first thing that we would notice in this passage that Jesus is telling us is resist the urge to seek revenge. Resist the urge to seek revenge. Look at the verse 38 and 39, the first part of that. It says, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. So Jesus starts out the way he typically does when he's teaching his followers, and he quotes the Old Testament. He does this a lot. He's actually quoting the passage from Leviticus 24, verse 20. Now, why would Jesus quote the Old Testament whenever he talks to his people? One of the reasons is that every young person from that culture was familiar with the Torah, okay? The first five books of the Bible. They were familiar with that. As a matter of fact, many young people had that portion of the scripture memorized. And so anytime Jesus would quote from the Old Testament, people automatically would identify and know exactly what he's talking about. He did this a lot when he was speaking to religious leaders of the time. It's almost like as if you were speaking to your teacher about a problem you had with the text, and you were quoting from your teacher's textbook. And your teacher was like, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. He goes, oh, yeah, you're right. It's in my textbook. Jesus did that a lot. He quoted from the Old Testament. And this instance, Leviticus 24:20, which says, a fracture for a fracture, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Whatever anyone does to injure another person must be paid back in kind. Okay, so there were certain laws that were laid down so that there would be order. This particular law, actually, today, in sociology, it's called equivalent retaliation or proportional justice. It simply means this. It means that the punishment should not exceed the crime. Okay? Something that's practiced even today. This kept people from going on beyond the punishment and entering into a realm called revenge. You know what I'm talking about? We all have this sense for justice, okay? This natural sense that we want to see justice happen. But we also have this urge to seek revenge. And this is what Jesus is telling us that we need to resist. Let me give you an example. So I'm watching the new Batman movie. And as I'm watching it, at one point in the movie, Batman, it just gets the crap beat out of him. I mean, he's not doing good at all. I was watching it with Chris Jones. I had to hold Chris's hand during part of this movie because it was really sad that the bad guy, Bane, was winning. He was winning. And so this overwhelming sense of justice and revenge was just welling up inside of me. And then if this theater hadn't been full of people when Batman finally did come back, I would have been like, yeah, you get him! Did I do that? I don't remember. But you understand what I'm saying? You have this sense of revenge that just wells up in you. You want to see justice, but then you're like, no, it's not good enough that justice is met. I want someone to have justice and then a punch in the face to go along with it. Okay? We desire that. It's just this urge within us. And Jesus knows that. And as he's speaking to his followers, he says, I want you to resist the urge to seek revenge. Resist. What does he mean by the word resist? In the original language, this word means face off with, to face off with. Okay? So he says, do not resist an evil person. He's not just saying, don't stop them, okay? But what he's saying is, don't face off with them. In other words, don't become belligerent. You know what I mean when I say face off, okay? That's when someone says something insulting to you and you stand up in your chair, stick your chest out and step up into their face. You've seen that happen before or you've done it yourself before? Don't face off with an evil person. He breaks it down a little more in Romans 12:17-19. He says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. So this verse, although it's packed with truth, is pretty tough to live by. Because, as I mentioned earlier, it's within our nature to want revenge, to seek out vengeance. But what does God say? He says, never take revenge. That's my job. Vengeance is God's job. It's just not our place. That's the way the world responds to someone who hurts them, or responds to someone who offends them. But we, as followers of Jesus, and if we're going to go along with the tough sayings of Jesus, we have to understand that he's calling us to a higher level. And the level that he's calling us to is to be honorable in everything that we do. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. So if our aim is always restoration, then I believe that revenge is going to take a back seat every time. We need to aim for peace, for love, for restoration, for all those things that God is calling us to, that is above and beyond kind of our base level reaction, which is revenge. See, as imperfect humans, the line between wanting justice and demanding payback is too fine, and it just isn't worth the cost. See, there are many times we're just not able to distinguish between justice and payback. And so God is saying, I don't even want you riding that line. If you're not going to seek out revenge, it has to be something that actually seeps into you as an attitude of life, a way of living, a habit, if you will. So that every situation that you approach, anytime that you are offended or insulted in any way, your natural reaction is, instead of to want retaliation, your natural reaction is to absorb that and leave that job to God. Because he's very, very capable of doing that. Let's look at the next verse, verse 39. The last part of it. It says, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Obviously not talking about the buttocks. If someone slaps you on the right cheek. Okay, so I read this, and I want to put everything into our modern culture. I don't oftentimes try to put myself back into the culture and try to figure out what was really going on. So I'm thinking, if someone comes up to me and slaps me in the face, I'm not going to give him a second opportunity, or her. If it's a girl, it won't hurt as much, right? That's not even true. That's not true at all. So if someone slaps you in the face, you're supposed to offer the other cheek. What is he talking about here? I mean, I guess we need to make sense of this within the culture of the people that he's speaking to. He's not talking about a fight. He's not talking about a blow. He's not talking about someone punching you. He's actually talking about when someone may do it with the back of their hand, or they may remove something, a glove probably, something and slap you across the face. It's an insult. It's not a fighting thing, okay? So understand that in the culture, that this was a way that where you insulted someone. It was like officially delivering an insult. Maybe for people that couldn't think of an insult to say, they're just like, okay. And that was the way they delivered the insult. Okay, so we have to kind of think of it out of the terms of boxing, or out of the terms of someone just decking you, because that's not what he's talking about here. Okay? And he's not saying don't defend yourself, okay, if someone comes up to you and hits you. See, this kind of a offense didn't involve shattered teeth, okay? It wasn't an invitation to a physical fight. It was an insult, the severest public affront. So a person's dignity basically has been insulted. So I think if we can draw anything from this passage, it would be this. Jesus is calling us to refrain from returning insults. Refrain from returning insults. Okay, so this puts a little bit of a different light on it. So it's no longer about not fighting when someone's beating you up, okay? I think that you have every right to defend yourself if you're being attacked. But he's talking about not returning an insult. 2 Peter 2, verse 15 says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. Isn't that a great verse? I love that verse. It's like one of those things you want to put on your refrigerator. It's God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. In other words, the only insult that you need to offer has already been given, because it's your life. Because your life is so full of honor, the way you live is so respectable, that the fact that you don't offer an insult in return is, in fact, an insult in itself. Does it make sense? 2 Corinthians 8:21 says this, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. You know, as Christians, we're really big on saying, you know, I want to do what's right before God. You know, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want to do what's right before God. That's not exactly the right theology. If we're going to really pay attention to what's being said here, we aim at what's honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. So should we care what people think about us? Yeah. Yeah, we should. See, if we decide that we're only going to please God and it's going to be this internal thing and we're not going to really be thinking about others and the reaction that they might have to our actions, then what have we done? We've taken the life that God wants us to live to serve others and we've made it selfish. And God is calling us instead to live a life that not only brings him honor, but also brings honor to the people around us. Okay? It's a pretty all-inclusive way of living. Pretty complete way of living. And when you think of it that way, there's really no excuse. 1 Peter 3:16 says this, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Once again, this idea that if you're doing what is bringing honor to Christ and honor to those around you, when someone tries to slander you and someone tries to say bad things about you, your good behavior speaks for itself. Has someone ever said something bad to you about someone else? And we're talking about gossip here. Maybe someone comes to you and says, hey, check out what so-and-so did. And they begin to say whatever the person did or allegedly did. And you start hearing it and you say to yourself, that doesn't match up with the character of the person they're talking about. Has it happened to you before? That's happened to me before. I've heard things about someone and I said to myself, that really doesn't sound like their character. And therefore, whatever it is I'm hearing about them, their actions, their behavior is speaking much louder than whatever's being said about them. Wouldn't that be incredible if that could be true for all of us? If anytime someone accuses you of doing something wrong, or anytime somebody says something false about you, people would look at them and say, no, that doesn't sound like him, or that doesn't sound like her. Now, according to their track record, the way they behave, their lifestyle, the way they live, no, that just doesn't match up. And this is what God's talking about here. We need to be a people who our lives can line up with this truth. So that the way we live is so honorable and so respectable that when someone does say something against us, it doesn't have any weight because of the life that we live. So when it comes to returning insults or refraining from returning insults, I guess we have to ask ourselves this question. Is your honor so valuable that it's worth defending at the risk of God's reputation? Is your honor so valuable that it's worth defending and putting God's reputation at risk? Even if it's the only time you've ever insulted somebody and somebody hears it and just completely destroys your reputation in their eyes, it's not worth it. Because as followers of Jesus, everything we do is a reflection on our Father in heaven. Everything we do is a reflection of the God in us, who's given us the ability to live this life in a way that's honorable. My son, he's going to be 4 in January. It is January, the 22nd. That's coming up pretty quick here. Scary. But when my son goes into public, and he doesn't really, you know, go out by himself too often. We don't let him use the car or anything. But every once in a while, when he does go out into public and he's with people, I'm always a little bit, in the back of my mind, there's just that little doubt that he's going to do or say something that's going to make me look bad. Okay? So before he goes somewhere, like, for example, Wednesday nights he goes down to the Awana Club at Calvary Chapel, and so we're sending him off, and I'll say things like, Josiah, go and have a good time. But as you have a good time, please, don't use words like poopy. It's like one of his favorite words right now. I don't know why. Don't make reference to any body parts that are not covered with clothing. I feel like I have to give him these instructions. And then what he does is all he hears is this. Poopy body parts. That's all he hears. And then he goes, and yeah, you know what happens next. I feel like sometimes our Heavenly Father wants to maybe sit us down and just say, okay, just don't say that. Just don't, you know, don't even look at other people that way because they might be thinking that you're thinking that. Because God's reputation is on the line. See, your actions, the way you live, your behavior in front of your coworkers, your family, your classmates, that really represents your Heavenly Father. You're communicating something about the God that you love and serve by the way you act and the way you speak. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Let's look at verse 40. It's my favorite one. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat as well. All right, this just sounds like the worst deal ever. Okay, if you really don't have anything but the shirt on your back, that's all you have left, that's the only possession you have, and somebody sues you in court, and you have to give them that shirt, I mean, come on. You got to go home to your wardrobe and take your coat out. It's passed down from generation to generation. It smells like mothballs. No. What is Jesus talking about here? I mean, this seems ridiculous. You know, you've given up the shirt off your back. You have to give your coat too. I mean, you live in the Imperial Valley. Without your coat, you're only going to survive. You could probably survive forever. But the point is that if someone takes you to court and sues you for something, and this is actually a literal situation that could happen. As a matter of fact, the shirt was the garment that was worn closest to the body. And legally, according to that culture and that time, you could sue somebody and take their shirt if that was all they had. But their coat, which for a poor person, their coat may also double as their bedding, okay? The coat was protected by law. So you could not take someone's coat. So it was kind of an expression where you could take someone to court and sue them for their shirt, but they got to keep their coat. Okay? We have similar expressions, I think, but the whole idea is that Jesus is saying, okay, so you've heard this expression before, someone can take you to court and sue you and take that shirt off your back. You've heard that expression before. And you know, according to the law, that it's illegal for them to sue you and take your coat as well. So instead of having them sue you, you just give it to them anyway. You hand it over. Wow. I imagine Jesus' disciples, his followers, are just listening to him and they're like, no. No, Jesus, no. Come on. My coat? Are you serious? It's protected by law. I mean, you know, they couldn't take it if they wanted to. You're asking me to actually hand it over to them, to give it up? Yeah. I think Jesus is teaching his disciples and us an important lesson here. He's saying, don't value possessions over peace. Don't value possessions over peace. The things you own, your property, it's just stuff. And that stuff that you have is not as important as maintaining peace with the people around you. As a matter of fact, check out what God's people are told in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. So even to have the lawsuits in the first place is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourself be cheated? Wow. Okay, so Jesus, I mean, it's pretty tough when Jesus says, hey, they take your shirt, give them your coat. But now God, speaking through Paul to the Corinthian church, says, I don't even want you to have lawsuits with each other. It's better that you just allow an injustice to happen to you. Why not just allow yourself to be cheated rather than show up in court and defame the name of Jesus? Now that's a tough saying. Because everything within us demands justice. We talked about seeking revenge, right? And that's just something that comes up in us. We've got to curb it. We've got to control it. But justice itself, I mean, that's something that within us we're just like, no. There has to be justice. There doesn't have to be revenge, but there has to be justice. And Jesus is telling us, you know what? I would rather that you are at peace with the people around you. I would rather that my name remains good and honorable in your community rather than to see you take someone to court and sue them. You know, I spent my fair amount of time in court. I don't know why I get called for jury duty about, I don't know, once a month. Feels like it anyway. No, literally, I get called about twice a year. And I think they're only allowed to call you once a year. Or maybe it's you're only allowed to serve once a year and they can call you as many times as they want. I don't know. I'm not that up on the law. All I know is that I show up there and I sit in a room for a long, long time. And I'm sitting in court and they're doing jury selection and I really want to get out of jury duty, okay? I mean, it's a duty. It is duty in my mind as well. But so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, how can I get out of this? And so I'm just trying to think of all the things I could say about myself. And so I mentioned the fact that I'm a pastor. And usually you mention you're a pastor, people are like, oh, yeah, we don't want this guy. At least the defense lawyer. But so I say that, and the case happened to involve alcohol. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty stiff about, you know, responsibility and all that kind of stuff, and drinking, and getting drunk, and all that stuff. No, I'm not up on that. I was the only person that doesn't drink in the whole room. And so, so as we're going through all this, I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be a way to get out of this. I mean, at some point, they're going to say something. And then one of the guys asked me, do you, as a pastor and as a Christian, do you feel like this person in the courtroom has committed a moral sin, has done something wrong? And I first wanted to say, yeah, I mean, we've all done things that are wrong, you know, but they were kind of expecting me to say that. And so instead I said, well, it landed all of us in court, didn't it? They didn't think that was funny. And interestingly enough, I ended up serving in the jury on that case. Yeah, it was interesting. But I'm sitting in court and I'm thinking to myself, you know, the only reason we're here is because somebody did something wrong, okay? Or they were accused of doing something wrong. But the point is that we were in court because someone was offended, someone had done something wrong, and regardless of, you know, it's always you presume innocent before guilty, but then the moment you hear courtroom, defendant, anything like that, you're just like, oh, man, yeah, he did something wrong. He wouldn't be here if he hadn't done something wrong. It's just something that stirs up in our minds. And the fact is, God is wanting us to even avoid that whole connotation, that idea that there's an offense that has been committed. If you're wrapped up in offenses all the time, people just begin to recognize that that's a part of your character. And God's saying, no, I don't want that to be a part of your character. And I would even go so far as to say, avoid lawsuits at all. Instead, allow yourself to be cheated rather than rub Christ's name through the mud. This is the point. Matthew 19:29. Now, I love this passage. I'm reading it for you in the Message, which is a paraphrase, but you're asking yourself right now, okay, this is some pretty tough things to try to live by because it kind of goes against my nature, but then also seems like it goes against my rights in some ways, because I really want my rights met. Check this out. Anyone who sacrifices home, family, fields, whatever, because of me, will get it all back 100 times over. Not to mention the considerable bonus of eternal life. This is the great reversal. Many of the first ending up last, and the last first. See, we have to understand Jesus' philosophy about life and how very different it is from ours and from the world around us. We have to understand this thing that Eugene Peterson calls the great reversal, where God turns your normal, your typical thinking upside down, and where you would demand justice and demand that your rights be met, God would say, surrender your rights. Don't seek out justice in this case if it may risk the reputation of God at any point. So when I said earlier that God calls us to a higher standard, I mean, this is what we're talking about. We're saying that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, we need to live by the tough sayings of Jesus. Not just the things that we love to hear and the things that make us feel warm and fuzzy inside. I haven't said anything yet that makes you feel warm and fuzzy, right? I didn't even say Batman wins. I just left it at Bane beating the crud out of him. There's really nothing warm and fuzzy about the idea of denying yourself, sacrificing your own rights so that God will be lifted up, so that his name will be honored. And there's nothing warm and fuzzy about that. But I will tell you this, according to this verse, whatever it is that you sacrifice, whatever it is that you give up for God, whatever it is that you feel you let go that you deserve the right to, God says, you know what? I'm going to reward you. I'm going to pay you back. What do you say? 100-fold. And think about this. You're only here temporarily. You're going to spend eternity in God's presence. I mean, it's almost like he's saying, isn't that reward enough? I mean, he calls it the extra bonus, but I mean, the truth is that makes it all worth it. That in itself, the fact that whatever suffering, whatever it is you go through here on earth, you know that it's all worth it because you're going to spend eternity with God. You'll be in his presence forever. I love this quote by Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot is a guy who was murdered. He was a missionary. He was murdered by the Aka Indians. And the reason he was murdered was because he didn't fight back. He refused to raise a weapon against his murderers, because he didn't want to ruin any chance of these people being reached for Jesus. It's an incredible story. They made a movie about it. There's a book about it. So he gave up his life so that the reputation of Jesus could eventually seep into that culture. And what does he say? He says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He said, yeah, I'm laying my life down. And he knew he was doing that. He said, but I'm not gonna raise weapons. I'm not going to take weapons with me, because I know that these people are going to get the wrong idea about who Jesus is. If I'm coming to share Jesus' love with them, but I'm coming armed. And he lost his life because of that. See, we have no property worth defending compared with the opportunity to show how much we love God and others. There's nothing we own that's worth protecting or defending if it means that God's name is not going to be honored. We want to take every opportunity to show God's love. Some pretty tough stuff, I know. But you know, Jesus is calling us to live a life that's different from the world around us. If the life that you live is not different, nobody else is going to want to live it. If it's not different, if it's not greater, if it's not more honorable than the lives that everybody else is living, why would someone admire that? Why would someone desire to be a part of something like that? So I challenge you, in the words of the paraphrase of Jesus, don't smack them back. Resist that urge to seek revenge out. Don't return insults when you're insulted. And lastly, don't value your possessions over peace, over an opportunity to share God's love with somebody. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.